CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everyone. It is Friday. We're joined this morning by C.S. Sangweni.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And by Leanne Moll. And by you, most especially by you. We made it to the end of the week. I know it sounds like a small achievement, but these days, you know what? If you make it to the end of the week, you don't keel over from COVID. And, you know, I'm not going to start today on a downer, but I do hear a lot of horrible stories about people who are succumbing to the coronavirus and to all kinds of other things, and I know that that's adding a layer of unnecessary pain to an already very difficult year for a lot of people. So if you're going through that, I just want to say because we make a lot of fun of all of the craziness that's going on around us, but I know there are people who are really dealing with genuine loss, and I don't want to seem like the world's biggest prick by not caring about that, because obviously if that's what you're going through, I'm really sorry. Just got to say it, because I do know people who've lost people. We all do. Just like you know people in any given year who are losing people to cancer, you know, and if I went on every day and went, this cancer thing, it's what we're trying to deal with this year, blah, 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 blah. You pretend to not care. It's just cruel. It's unnecessary and cruel. So if that's what you're going through, then I am really sorry. That's all I'm going to say. That's not a downer. That's probably a mature, emotionally mature thing to say. So who knows? Maybe I'm growing up after all. I went yesterday. I went to the office and I saw Mbulelo and I saw Spike, and I did some recordings yesterday that we had to do for a new client of ours. Something very cool that's starting soon. And on my way home, I went to a place to buy some lunch. It's Kauai, right? So I stopped there. I like them because they make healthy food mostly, and because it never takes a long time. They're usually very good, and you know the people there know what they're doing, and they use lovely fresh ingredients and all that stuff, and I like it. Two things really got under my tits, and it wasn't Kauai's fault. The first one is they're now using, because I think there's such pressure on companies to have to use biodegradable material and all the rest of it. And I've always had a problem with those paper straws. You know, thank God they're not using those anymore. But they now only stock the stuff that looks like it's got soil in it. It's like you know what I mean? The straws are brown. They're like brown.
They're spotty.
Looks like it's got sand in it or something. It doesn't make any difference, because I bought one of those smoothies in a wrap, and the smoothie was great. But when you look at the straw, you're like, ew, what the hell they put in here, you know? So that was kind of weird. But that didn't piss me off. That was kind of just something I took note of. The thing that pissed me off is I go and stand in the queue to order, and there's only one person in front of me, and it's a woman and her daughter. But you know when someone makes the most complicated order in the world and they ask 1,000 questions about the ingredients? Of course you do. You know C.S. Sangweni, so he does that.
You do. I know exactly what I want.
So if you were Indian and you were a girl, this would be your mom, because she was standing there in the queue and she was going, yes, but does it contain any dairy? So the woman behind the counter says, no, there's no dairy in this one. She's trying to find something.
It's very important to ask.
Sure. She's trying to find something on the menu that her daughter will eat or drink or whatever. And then she goes, does it contain any nuts? So she's like, no, no, no nuts. And then she says, does it contain any berries? And there are, I kid you not, there must have been 4 or 5 categories of things that this little fucking preshi could not eat or drink. Or would what not. Is, or would not eat or drink.
So far, what is wrong with that?
No,
she just knows what she wants.
Here's what's wrong with it, is that there are other people in the world, and there is a menu that is available at that place. And if you don't like their menu, you got to go somewhere else where they make your weird concoction that won't upset your darling honey pie's sweet, sensitive little stomach. And I'm waiting in the queue behind you. So I don't want to have to stand there while you figure out the chemical consistencies of every ingredient in your darling honey pie's sweet little milkshake that you're buying her or whatever it is. It's none of my business. It's none of my problem. I'm being subjected to your culinary complications. It's not on. Hello, Deanne Moore.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're having some trouble logging in this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
It's more microphone issues, but if you can hear me on this little tit, then we'll be fine.
We can. We can hear you perfectly. In fact, when you came on earlier, I heard your little dog Joey scratching and carrying on in the background. Sounded like he was making love to his basket.
He's basically like half hamster.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was telling Sia about this person I was behind in the queue yesterday to order a wrap, and how complicated her order was, and how she wanted to know what every ingredient was, and she took instead of placing it. You see,
hey, what is wrong with you guys?
You know how we talk about how people are inconsiderate because they don't think about the people around them. Now, if there's no one else in the queue, and also if you feel like it's your responsibility to put down a 20-question quiz for the poor cashier,
no. It's wrong.
It is wrong.
Then go somewhere else or make your own.
Right.
How was it wrong?
Well, okay. This woman, after asking, and I'm not going to exaggerate, she must have asked 4 questions about the different things that are in this stuff. And are you sure? And then she's like, and what do you feel like having? She's pointing at certain things with her daughter. And now listen, they have a set menu because those are the things they keep in the shop. They're making the thing fresh for you. Therefore, they're going to use the ingredients that they have on the menu, hence the fact that they have a menu. Therefore, they can order the ingredients that they need and be profitable as a business. If they had access to every ingredient on earth and could magically make it appear, they wouldn't need a menu. And you could go, I would like lamb souvlaki, please. And they'd go, well, we don't really keep lamb souvlaki. And then they'd go, well, you know what? Luckily, we can make magic happen. And here's, look, there's your lamb souvlaki. And they could make
it happen. No, you see, I don't take a menu as something set in stone. I take a menu as a suggestion.
I want to mute you right now.
Yes, thank you.
And firstly, from my Afrikaans friend who went to Greece, it's called souvlaki.
Souvlaki.
Mm.
Sorry.
And secondly, you can look at the menu beforehand. If nothing is to your taste, then the place is not for you.
Yeah.
They chop and prepare those ingredients beforehand. Sia, don't shake your head at me.
Yeah, but then sometimes you can get another ingredient from another item.
I couldn't help it. So she, after her 4th question, and she's about to go for a 5th one, because I could see she had a whole list of things she needed to know, because Princess, her little, I must have been a 7, 8, 9-year-old daughter, was...
Please don't tell me you confronted her.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did.
Ooh, Karen on the loose.
No. I wasn't being a Karen. I just muttered under my breath loud enough for her to hear, oh, for fuck's sake, can we please get a move on? Okay. Because I don't care. I'm never going to see her again, and I don't like her, and I don't like her child. And frankly, they should get out of my fucking way, because now I'm starting to get annoyed. I've got things to do with my day too. So she obviously heard me, and she placed her order, and then she took a long time to pay, and a whole lot of things. So it was just at this point, I was like, you know what, honey, it's just not on that you treat this place like your kitchen, where your daughter is now going to have precisely the meal of her dreams, while there are another people behind me, too, who are starting to gather up because she's taking her time. She thinks that the reason that this takeaway place has existed is in order to serve her and her daughter's most urgent needs, not very urgently, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
so I was furious.
I'm actually really mad right now.
I was furious. And it just reminded me why, during the course of this lockdown, I have done what I wanted, and she's probably done what she wanted, and her daughter's probably done what she wanted, and we've forgotten how to share space and time. And when you are in the world, Sia, I don't care how picky you are, and you are very picky and annoying, I won't go to restaurants with you. I've told you this before. I will not go to eating establishments with Sia. I won't, because he does that. He takes forever. He orders things, and he asks, "Is that are the carrots chopped or are they grated? And what kind of a dressing?"
These are important questions.
Do the olives have holes in them?
Yeah,
or
right.
Are they holes?
We're not even kidding. This is Sia. This is what he does. So I saw a little female version of you, someone being catered
to
their every.
Sia to talk.
You aren't even the middleman, Leanne. You're also biased. Let me flip it over. Do you know how annoying it is when you pay for something, your hard-earned money, or even if it's from a good friend or a good boss paying? You know, it's something that you really are looking forward to, and it comes out bump. It's just not to your liking. Ugh, then why bother? Why even go out and order something? You know, then just stay at home. But something like consistency.
This is not how a cordon. This is not a. See, this is not a cordon bleu restaurant. This is it's kawaii, a takeaway place. There's a menu. You don't.
Sorry,
this is not a team building exercise where we're all having a creativity competition.
Sia, do you know how hard I try every day, even without trying, it just happens to me, to not inconvenience other people and to make the system work faster?
Right.
You know, do you know when.
Do you reckon that's an inconvenience?
It's. All of it is. I have my bank card ready in my hand at the right angle.
Mm-hmm.
I have my bags hung over my arm in front of the basket so that they can come off quicker.
Yes.
I put the items on the counter with the barcode facing the lady.
Yes.
So she doesn't have to turn and search and look at things.
And you also group the stuff on the till.
I group
so that the packer.
So that it's easy to pack.
Right.
So she doesn't go, "Oh my God, you threw in a fabric softener in amongst the fridge items." I have it all
separate.
I do it as quickly and as fast as I can. Why? Because people behind me need to go. And why? Because we are in a society and we coexist.
Correct. It's not about whether you like chopped carrots or grated ones. And if you do them at home.
Wow, folks. I'm shocked by your response. I really am.
This is also why you have a bad rating on Uber, because you make them wait.
Sia, if restaurants could rate you, they would give you 1 star. Here's the sad thing that you and that woman I met yesterday don't understand about the world, is that those people behind the counter don't go, "Wow, what an interesting person, because they've got such amazing tastes with such peculiarities. I wish I knew more people like them who are as complex and interesting and layered as they are." They go, "What a fucking pain in the ass. I hate this fucking person. Please can we move on to the next?" They do. They hate you. And usually they put a bit of spit or a bit of filth from the floor into your stuff because they realize that you're picky.
That's why you should always be kind and crack a little joke with service people so that
behind the scenes, they're still going, "Oh, tika."
I don't think it makes much of a difference to order something and they just have to remove the avo, or they substitute for halloumi, or they just give you extra letters. I really don't think it's a back-breaking effort. And so
it even takes longer to say the order, and for that guy to tell the kitchen it takes longer to say the order. You're inconveniencing people. Hurry up.
Well, and then at the end of the day, you know, my local fast food place just around the corner now knows everything to my liking. So
yeah, and when you arrive, they all go, even if they don't say so. You think they're happy to see you because their job depends on it. But genuinely, deep down inside, when you're not looking, they go, There's that CS
should we agree to disagree?
You can say what you think. I'm absolutely convinced nobody likes a fussy person ordering anything in a restaurant. Oh. If you think they do, it's because you haven't ever paid attention. Why don't you ask them one
day? Is this a flaw? Yeah, do you think it's a flaw? Do you think I'm not self-aware?
Okay, why don't we put a poll up?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that right now. Okay. Hold on, I'll type one up quickly. Give me a second. And then we'll ask people if they think that it's...
We have to try and ask the question in a non-biased
right.
way. Though.
Come up with precisely what the words of the question need to be. And let me figure this out.
Is it okay? Let's start with something simple.
All right.
Is it okay to swap out ingredients on your pizza ordering?
That's very complex. Is it okay to swap out ingredients when making an order?
Yeah.
When making an order. And by the way, I'm not saying, like, for example, oh, I'd prefer not having pineapple on my pizza. That's one thing that you're changing. This woman changed four things and asked four questions, and you do that. It's not one thing. I'm not being picky and difficult about it. I don't go, I'll have it exactly as it comes. Sometimes the waitress or waiter asks you at a restaurant, do you like your steak medium, medium rare, well done, would you like it with this? That's them asking questions so they know how to make you happy, which is what you want. Mm. But not you asking them five questions and then changing five things on the order that's already written.
Okay, well,
then
maybe make it – oh, have you
– No, what is it? Go.
More than four ingredients.
Okay. Is it
– All right. Let me give you a most recent example, and you tell me if this is overboard or not. Mm-hmm. I went to this fast food place just around the corner, and they do a chicken wrap. And then all they have for vegetarians is like a vegetarian burger. This is a drive-thru, and I stopped at the window, and I asked for their grilled chicken foldover instead of Mm-mm. the chicken patty Mm-mm. in there.
Why are you going there? Why are you going there? You know what the menu is.
Just wait and you tell me. Instead of the chicken patty, I asked for the vegetarian patty. But I don't like a huge chunk of patty. So on top of that, I asked for the patty sliced. And then I know they do this yummy, yummy sauce. So I asked for the specific sauce in the wrap as well. Is that too much?
Yes.
Oh. Wait, do you know?
It was too much when you drove there, knowing what their menu was.
This is why I've always wondered why there are people who, when you go to a drive-thru takeout, which I do from time to time, why it takes some people so long. I always go, how can you still be at that intercom thing? How can you still be there? Like, how much are you ordering? And it's obviously not that they're ordering a lot. It's that they're being very picky about, I mean, can you get this sauce? And can you slice the bun in half? And why don't you take out the onions but put in some mushroom? And
Garrett, stop you. This is old man alert when you went, what do you order? What do you
That's what people do. They talk
Objection.
Shit.
Objection.
Okay, here it is.
Does it make it any better that I'm always happy to pay extra as well for all of these substitutions? Does it make it better or it doesn't count?
No, it makes you even more irritating because now they have
doesn't
to figure.
Doesn't help the person behind you.
They have to. You think that person at the till has an option until, here's the CS Sangueni option, which means I can take out certain things, add other things, and he's willing to pay. No, they have to then... They're not there to think. They're there to process. They don't want you to complicate their lives. They want to get your order done so they can get to the other three people in the queue behind you. All right, so here's Venetia. She says, oh, I love these stories. I was at a kid's party on Tuesday, and I met a woman with a five-year-old boy that is gluten-free and dairy-free. That three generations ago, that child would be dead. He didn't get the cake... He didn't get the cake the other kids got at the party and couldn't eat anything that was there. But she brought his snacks from home in a Tupperware and didn't complain about it. The kid was also not a problem. it's an exception, I guess. Yeah, everybody's kid's special little prince or princess. They come from heaven, and God has made their little stomachs different to all the other children, which is why they are little god or a goddess. You know what would happen to me? My mother would have said to me, if I'd gone to a party and there were sweets and chips and all the bad things that kids eat, and my mother had said to me, that stuff, don't eat too much of it, which she did, because you're going to get a sugar rush and become a problem to me. Or you're going to have this orange shit around your mouth from eating tartrazine or whatever. So she never told me to stop, or if I didn't like it, then she'd have other stuff in a little Tupperware in her bag, because she had nothing to do all day except cater to my dietary requirements. I would have never gone to a single party again, because none of my friends' parents would have invited me. They would have said, that child is a fucking pain. We're not inviting him. Sorry. He's an asshole. He's gluten-free. He's dairy-free. He's wheat-free. He can't have this much sugar. No, just don't invite people like this. Like, I will not have a braai for people who have extremely complicated dietary requirements. It's just too much of a problem, even if they're nice people. I won't invite them. Kerry says.
And is it fine if they bring their own food?
Oh,
like the little boy did to the party?
Sure, of course. And why don't you also bring your own drinks? And why don't you sit in your own area? And why don't
bring your own plate?
And why don't you speak Portuguese the whole time while the rest of us are speaking English? That's going to make it so much fun for everybody. We're all going to get along so well with your apartheid.
No, that escalated
with
now.
Your apartheid of food. Good. Kerry says Gareth and Leanne are spot on. MM says, if you're going to be like that, please go and eat at home. Don't inconvenience people just because you're extra as fuck. Tracy says it's grindingly annoying. Nico says, Sia, how can you not care what you eat at home to care so much at a restaurant?
No, everything at home is to my liking.
No. Your meals come out crap because you change the way that they're meant to be made. Yeah, someone, they've paid somebody. Even the fast food joints have paid someone, sometimes a lot of money. Sometimes those chefs that people love on TV, to make it just right. And you're going to come in because you are what? You're Gordon Ramsay or Heston Blumenthal, and you're going to make a better thing because your taste buds are so much more advanced than everyone else's. Sia, you're a little shit, says someone. It kills me when people waste time. I'm on your side, Gareth, says Michelle. I'm also super organized when I'm in a queue, even at a parking pay point. I won't go somewhere if I don't have the change, for example, to pay at a parking thing. Yeah. JP says, see, I must like the taste of chef spitting in his food.
Never. And I don't think so.
Shall we finish off with the poll results?
Well, here's Kyle, who I think makes a very good point that Sia seems oblivious to. I waited at tables for 8 years, says Kyle. We all hated people who fucked with the recipe and changed how things were made, and people who ordered well-done steak and such things. Now, let's go to the poll results this morning. So we have a very obvious bias.
Wait. Give it to me, the poll with Moll.
Okay, so here's Leanne Moll's poll. Carry on. That's just your music.
Is it okay to swap out more than 4 ingredients when making an order? 81% say, no, there's a menu for a reason. And it's actually jumped to 82. 17% say, you get what you want.
I stand with you, 17%ers.
Yeah.
Viva 17%ers.
Yeah. Are you guys going to, you and your 17%, are you going to storm the Capitol now and impose your rule on everyone else?
It's a revolution. Yes, we will. It's just like, you know, sometimes it's not that you won't buy the house, but you'll buy the house and then you'll just have to renovate.
Sure.
Ah, perfect analogy.
Yeah, you can. And you know what, Sia, if you've got money and you've got time, you're allowed to do that. But it does mean you are going to have people like me mutter in the queue behind you, for fuck's sake.
Just think, when you renovate, you're employing more people, paying them money. But when you renovate your own sandwich, you're not.
All right.
I don't think either of us will change.
Loads of feedback on this. So we've obviously struck a chord with a lot of people. I just thought maybe I'm very touchy and irritable, because I'm so used to having things my way and being at home and making things the way I want them. And I haven't been to a lot of fast food places or restaurants under lockdown. And I've tried to eat mostly healthy stuff, which often doesn't taste as nice as the stuff that's bad for you, let's face it. But it was really annoying last night. And loads of people on the WhatsApp line, 0797482090, Sam says, can these little brats please just move over? The people that stand in a queue waiting to order but only look at what they want when they get to the counter really grate my nipples. What the hell were you doing while you were standing in line?
Yeah, Sia, okay, look. Let's not berate Sia anymore. He's standing here all on his own.
And that's with the 17%ers. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to change his ways either,
no.
Which makes it worse.
You just don't eat with him. I'm going to warn everybody, if you ever end up at a restaurant with Sia, just don't, please, for God's sake, for your own mental health, do not end up having to bear witness to him placing an order. I feel so...
Is that
so,
why we haven't gone for lunch, Gareth, in over a year?
I feel so sorry for the waiter when I see you going, and you pick up the menu. I mean, you become extra camp when you pick up the menu. And you grab it and you look at it like this. You go, and your hand goes up like this, and you start pointing. You go, can we have that? And maybe change this. And like, he thinks he's being so creative and interesting, and they just want to kill themselves. They're like, it's unbelievable. And that's the only time you behave like that.
I have a friend with irritable bowel syndrome, but it's so real. I didn't believe in that shit before, right?
Does this mean they want to?
Until I watched her eat feta and almost vomit over the whole table and stand in a queue desperately to go to the loo. So her issue is real. Like, she literally can't eat certain things.
But isn't the irritable bowel syndrome in the asshole? Doesn't make you start throwing up immediately, or is it the same thing?
No, it's the bowel is from the in poop hole to the out poop hole.
Oh.
His sphincter, yeah.
Wow.
And she always warns the person, the waitress, and she's conscious about it and embarrassed. And she said, I'm sorry, I'm going to be really picky now, but are you ready? Do you have a pen and paper? You know, that I understand.
I want to read an article that my brother, who is a father, sent to me, which I think you're going to enjoy. And that we'll get to after the headlines. But we've got to do this right now and find out what's happening in the universe. And we'll start off. Story from ENCA. It may be too soon to reopen schools. How did we know this was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, NAPTOSA, which is a teachers' union, and the teachers' union...
I thought it was a sleeping disorder clinic.
I think it might also be, that, just judging from the person who's in charge of NAPTOSA. What is this guy's name? Oh, he looks like the kind of person. Here, Basil Manuel. He looks like the kind of person who's a little pressure. He also stands in the queue and orders a complicated meal and makes everybody else wait because he's the boss of the union. Government schools are going to reopen on the 27th of January, but there are discussions underway which could put the halt on that. And Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga is expected to hold a briefing on the state of readiness for schools for reopening. That comes, rather, after news that a marker at the JP Boys Marking Center in Johannesburg died from COVID-19. What if... Don't worry. I'm not even going to go down this road because we've spoken about COVID too much. I'm bored with it. But Teachers Union NAPTOSA says they are supporting the reopening of schools, but it may be too soon. So they want it both ways. They want to get credit for being brave and reopening the schools because parents really want their kids to go back to school. And I think the whole of society needs these kids to go back to school. But they also want to protect their union members, which means let them skive off at home. Everyone now knows someone who's passed away, and this has informed our decision. You see, that is a terrible argument, Basil Manuel, because it's called anecdotal evidence for a reason. And we are fighting a pandemic here based on statistics. So if we're going to base it on statistics, then that's how we have to argue it. You can't then take a statistical pandemic, which may or may not have the relevant numbers to shut an entire country down, and start judging it on anecdotal levels. So just because you know someone who's died, and I said this at the start of the show, and I mean it, I give you my heartfelt condolences because I know that there are people who are losing friends and family, and it's a hugely difficult thing to go through. So you have my sympathies. But that is not evidence that we need to change the date for the reopening of schools just because you know someone who died or just because one person who marks for Jeppy Boys died. It does not mean everything has to be shut down. That's like me going, well, I lost that one time at the casino, so I'm never gambling again. Or vice versa, that I won that one time at the casino, so I'm going to keep gambling forever. You understand? Anecdotal versus statistical evidence. We cannot run things based on your story plus that person's story plus that person's story about their aunt and their granny and their second cousin who all succumbed to COVID-19. So this is crazy, and I know that parents are desperate after the holiday to get their kids back to school. First of all, because they have to get back to work. We have to get this country moving. And also, these kids are sitting at home. A lot of them are going to take huge strain eventually from not being among other kids, from not learning. Mm-hmm. We know that the chances of this thing taking your kids out, very, very slim. No kid has died under a certain, I think it's under 15 years old. No kid in the world has died from COVID. So it's not dangerous to children. And teachers and educators can take precautions.
And, you know, government schools already were opening on, I think it's the last week of Jan, like the 25th or the 26th or something of Jan, which is quite a chunk late as it stands. So where and how they're going to make up that time, I really don't know.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
It's a mess.
Limpopo police have activated a 72-hour activation plan to arrest a man who's wanted for allegedly strangling a woman and a 2-year-old child to death. This is a horrible
story. Nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy. The bodies were found at a lodge along the R518 between Mokopane and Marken Roads near Masodi, which is a village in Limpopo. Apparently, it is alleged at about 7 o'clock, a man and a woman with a 2-year-old child were dropped off at the gate of the lodge by a grey motor vehicle. Apparently, they rented a room overnight without providing their personal information and promised the receptionist they would check out the next day. Next day at 9 o'clock, they didn't check out, obviously, so she thought they'd left the premises. On the 14th, which is the next day, the receptionist decided to go and open the rented room. Mm-mm. And guess what she found? A woman in her 20s and the toddler dead with their hands tied Mm-mm. behind their backs. What a grisly thing Ooh. To find. So they're now trying to track this guy down. ENCA reporting this morning that police have arrested more people at Beitbridge border. They have apparently stopped people from getting into South Africa illegally. Now, this is what they should be doing all the time. And if they were doing it all the time, they'd have some practice at it, and we wouldn't have queues that take people 4 days to get into the country.
Just a personal anecdote. My domestic worker is still stuck at the border. She's been there for 3 weeks. She cannot earn money in Zimbabwe. There is no way of earning money in Zimbabwe. She has had almost a month without a salary.
Mm-hmm.
She is in a state. This is a really terrible situation. She's allowed in South Africa legally.
This whole story is slightly still unreal to me based on the fact that I don't think we're accustomed to such jarring inhumanity inhumane stories in this country. You know, yes, there's service delivery issues and some people are still waiting on RDP houses. But when it comes to people for days on end, confined to small space, they can't even use proper loos. And to see those images, this is all, I don't know if I'm the only one who's still stunned by all of this.
Maybe someone's at the border post ordering a wrap without the onions plus olives, minus the cheese, plus grated only.
I'll see myself out. I'll see myself out. See you on Monday.
Oh, man. But it's just an awful situation up there. And I do wish they'd be able to sort this out because it is affecting people's lives. It's also affecting the economy in very obvious ways because there are people trying to get goods across the border. It's going to upset trade and it's very inconvenient for lots and lots of people who are trying to get back to work or trying to get home. So get your shit together, Home Affairs. And if you are arresting people who are illegally coming into the country, good. At least you're finally doing your job at that border post, because for the longest time it's been a free-for-all. Joe Biden has unveiled a $1.9 trillion stimulus plan for the coronavirus-strapped U.S. economy before he takes office next week. This being reported by the BBC this morning. Mr. Biden has promised to beat the pandemic that has killed more than... I want to see how he's going to do that. No person in the world. You're going to throw money at the virus, and once the money lands on the virus goes, ooh, I'll take the money rather than kill people. How are you going to do it?
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a case of overcompensation here. He made a statement. He found the weak spot, one of the weak spots, and said, people are dying, I'm going to fix this. And now he has to stand by it, especially because he's new.
Yeah.
And it's a waste because the virus is still going to do its thing.
Well, I think in some cases the worst thing that you can do when you're starting out anything is to start out with a big song and a dance. Mm. Don't come in with a whole orchestra to sing your praises.
Right.
Just come in with a little flute. And as you feel that again, you work, let your work speak for itself. Right now, there's a big old orchestra, and he set the bar.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the Biden new car smell is going to go away very quickly.
I just hope that
then people will start going, hmm.
I agree with both of you. I hope that we have consistency in the way people criticized Donald Trump for every death. Remember, there were people saying that he should be charged with the murder of hundreds of thousands of Americans. So we must then hold Joe Biden responsible by the same standard. Otherwise, those people who said that about Trump are just hypocrites who will say whatever it takes to make their side look good and say whatever it takes to make the other side look bad. And I can't believe people like that anymore, not in 2021. So we will see. And, you know, again, it's easy to spend money that isn't yours, politicians. They all over the world, in our country too, people are spending hundreds of millions, billions, even in America's case, trillions of dollars. Where do you think that comes from? Governments don't make money. Ordinary people work themselves to pieces, and many of them have lost their jobs over the last year. So where is this money coming from, guys?
Bonus news item that we won't get into. It's just a headline.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But speaking of billions and trillions, Elon Musk is no longer the richest. He lost 38 billion in a day.
Yeah, this is like when you place your order at a fast food place and they just don't get it right.
For a while
there, you're fantasizing about how great that wrap is going to be, and then it arrives and the tomatoes are all watery.
Oh. I've just accepted this will be the analogy of the day. Okay.
Yes. Sorry, Sia. What else can I tell you? One last thing. North Korea have unveiled a new submarine-launched missile. Hooray. Who's excited about that? I'll tell you who.
At least they're doing something to keep themselves occupied.
Kim Jong-un is excited about that. They, you know, they always have their parade, and they had a show of military strength days before the inauguration of Joe Biden. Remember, Trump had this guy figured out because they're similar people. And you can hate Donald Trump all you like, but there's no way Joe Biden can handle this stuff as well as Trump did, because there are strong men in the world, people like Putin and like Kim Jong-un. And then there are these wishy-washy European leaders who love someone to just sit down and talk and have tea and discuss which restaurants they like going to and spend time at the World Economic Forum. That wasn't Trump's crowd. Trump's crowd was the bad people in the world, and he managed to get them to mostly see his point of view in a way that Joe Biden never will. Because why do I say that? Because we've had a test run with Joe Biden. He was vice president for 8 years, so we know what he's done. It's not like he's come in out of the cold. By the way, Donald Trump didn't start any wars, did he? Let's see how long the clock ticks on Joe Biden before he starts a war. Just saying.
Oh, you see, since I think my true value in the world can be brought by just the petty ideas that I come up with in my brain.
Like?
You know, what if Trump really wanted to screw with the world, all he had to do was just play one round of golf with Kim Jong-un and take a photo of that. Ooh! That photo!
Yeah. Do not underestimate. Do not underestimate the pettiness of Donald Trump. He probably he's not going to disappear now. You think he's just going to quietly go back to New York and carry on selling property? Hell no.
Or Kim Jong-un Trump and Putin just go for beers. Just take a photo of that.
He's going to do this. He's going to do whatever he can to get under their skin. And we haven't heard the last of that guy, I promise you. Or his I almost said something terrible there. I was going to say, or his horrible children. But...
you know what? They've become horrible. They were okay to start.
I've always liked Ivanka, but the guys, I don't know. I mean, I was following Donald Trump Jr. for a while because he was just, you know, needling people, and I do like someone who causes a bit of shit here and there. But honestly,
he posted a picture the other day of himself mouthing. Oh, he was at a party and. Snow, you know, in Farmer, you know, I'm in a stormy avenue. He was singing live.
Oh, no.
And was it him? Oh, no, it was Vanilla Ice. Sorry, the other white
guy. They
all look the same. It was Vanilla Ice.
That story just fell.
And he was mouthing the lyrics and dancing, and it was so awkward, total. So awkward. I have your laugh.
This is interesting. Just to go back to difficult people at restaurants, John T says, as an ex-chef, it is not the menu is not there as an ingredient list. It messes up the flow in the kitchen. The only time it's okay to leave something out is because of allergies. Fair enough.
Shame.
And by the way, Bulelo is also sticking the knife into you this morning. He says, Sia eats McDonald's for breakfast half the time, which makes no sense. So if you're picky, it should be about quality, not the viscosity of your sauce in your wrap.
No, I think all of that is valid. All of it is.
Here's an interesting point being made. And you know what? We've got to be open to all kinds of ideas here. Vimpy says... Morning, guys. Why don't we just open the borders in South Africa? At least people who are coming here want to work and not queue for government payouts. Also, most of these country citizens are here already. I love your show. Okay, well, there's a lot to unpack there. I went to the post office yesterday to collect two packages which were delivered in early December, and I just haven't been to the post office because the last three times I went, there were huge queues outside. Turns out those queues are for SASSA grants, and the post office in question has run out of cash. So they're waiting for, I don't know how long this has taken, but it's been like the last two times that I went, there were queues, and I thought, I can't wait there. So this time...
Pray tell, what arrived by mail?
Oh, I belong to this this like subscription service where every month they send you two things. So it's like it's just a cool... sorry, not every month, every second month they send you a little package, and it's like cool stuff. Anyway, so I left it. One of them was opened up, by the way, and had been resealed, and there was nothing in it. So it had been stolen, which happens.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. That's the post office for you, I'm afraid. But the post office seemingly can't even pay these people their SASSA grants. And I looked at this queue of probably about 15 people outside the post office. And they weren't queuing. They were actually just sitting there waiting, hoping for their SASSA grants to come through. And they go there every day just to do that. So it is not working. It's not working. The system is letting a lot of people down. Now, what do you think is going to happen to those people if they've been there for a month waiting for their grants and they still haven't been paid them? You think they're going to be happy? You think they're going to be peaceful? Because let me tell you, if you made me wait for a day, I would not be peaceful and happy. Mm. Their patience is going to wear thin at some point, government. It is unacceptable that you promise these things and then don't deliver. Rather, don't promise them. Rather, don't make people dependent on the state if the state can't actually do what it promised. Otherwise, you're going to end up with big problems.
And this is not money that was a bonus at the end of last year. This is money that people use for the
food.
Basics.
Food. Mm? To survive. It's downright depressing, and I was just really happy to get out of there. And it's not the people at the post office's fault. I mean, who knows if they stole my stuff or not. It might be somewhere in transit. But the fact is, these people at the post office are friendly. They're trying to do their work, but they have no money in the post office to pay out the people who are legitimately allowed to take a grant from government, you know?
I think it was the chief financial officer of the post office who resigned this week after 2 or 3 months there. So I think a decision like that is even telling. Like, what did they see before they said, actually,
hey,
can't be here?
Do you know what I did? I bought some illegal liquor.
Yes,
I took part in a prohibition activity this week, and I'm very excited.
Mm.
Means if I wanted to have people here this weekend, I could, and we could drink.
Is it classist of me to think, okay, I'm not going to be at a shebeen or a public place getting so drunk that I beat people up and end up in hospital?
No, you totally think you're superior.
I'm fine having a glass of wine at home.
Yeah, but you are. Let's be realistic. If you were going, wouldn't mean a shebeen. I mean, that could be classist if you say, I don't get a shebeens. But if you don't go to bars and clubs and restaurants and you're drinking your wine at home, you are putting those people at risk.
Actually, I just remembered the time I tripped over a beer bottle and cut my knee open outside the bar. I needed to take an ambulance to the hospital to have my knee. Never mind. Not classist.
Not classy.
Now, Gareth, was there any scandal with how you had to go and purchase?
No.
Was someone in the area?
Everybody knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go and buy thousands and thousands of rands worth of stuff. I just bought a little bit of... I hate being told what I can and can't do. So if you make a rule...
Yes. Over the decades, we've learned this.
You figured that out. Okay.
Now, and it wasn't too hyped up?
No.
The price of the booze?
No, it didn't cost me that much more. Who knows?
Because
by the 15th of February, which is a whole month away, people might be desperate, and by then they might have hiked up their prices. I was thinking, too, like, it makes sense to buy it now in case the prices do go up.
You know, may I just share this quickly? My birthday is coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks, and I had planned on going to Cape Town, but I thought it's not fun if there isn't any liquor on sale.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to go to a wine farm and do a tasting and just to get drunk. But rather now I'm just going to stay put here and call it a day. But even if I invite 2 people or 3 people, I was thinking, who do I love more than my prized possession of liquor right now to invite people over and have to share? Who knows when the ban will be lifted?
Yeah, who deserves to share that precious, precious stuff with you?
So far, none. No. I can go.
See,
if you need,
I'm not sure. You drink wine. I can probably help you out. How much is it worth to you? That's the only question.
Yeah. So what happens if you've gone and made an effort to get all of this alcohol? You've made an effort to prepare meals or a meal for your birthday, and someone says, "Can I have mine without the corn, but with extra olives, please?" Yeah.
So, Sia, it's not just us who are trying to get illicit liquor, because it turns out even a police officer, and this was a story in the news yesterday, a police officer was bussed using a cop van to transport liquor around, and he was making a tidy profit on the side. So don't point fingers at us, government, when your own people, your own police, who are meant to be telling the rest of us not to do this, and they are arresting people for stupid shit like having a six-pack of beers in the boot. If you're going to arrest people for that, you better come down hard on this cop.
Shame. There was also
and it was
a cop
your
who
part
had...
of the world, Gareth.
Oh, really? Is he near me? I must maybe talk to him.
It happened in Centurion. Maybe. Yeah, it was found that the incident happened at a shopping mall in Centurion, that an unconfirmed volume of liquor was being offloaded from the SAPS van, suggesting that the state vehicle was used to illegally convey alcohol.
And there was a cop as well who got so drunk on confiscated liquor that people were filming him, and you can watch the videos.
I've seen that guy. Yeah.
Where he's lying in the road with his head on the pavement as a pillow. And he's like,
actually so bad to watch.
Writhing around and doesn't know where he is. Oh, God, it's so embarrassing.
A criminal case has been opened against that police officer.
Yeah, because our prison,
well, I'm not surprised.
Our prisons and our police stations aren't busy enough with actual crimes that we now need to fill them up with people who are just breaking prohibition laws. It's insane. It's insane. We have gender-based violence that is going through the roof. We have people who are murdering toddlers in the news this morning and strangling their girlfriends. And what are our police doing? They're driving around stopping ordinary people from trading in a substance which is not illegal. It's just madness. It's mad. People are saying, Leanne, you're not allowed to be classist. In fact, Bulelo says, our own Bulelo says, Leanne, you're not allowed to be classist because you're from the South.
And yes, that's where my roots are, but I'm like a creeper. I've grown and changed since then.
Well, funny you mentioned like a creeper where you've grown and changed. Leanne, are you not sure that it was a beer bottle that you fell on with your knee and not your third leg?
Yes, it might have been my third leg.
But going back to the police being dodos very quickly, I like that these videos and footage are popping up of the police not acting accordingly, because if you really want to anger yourself, visit the account called GP Community Safety, and it's the account itself on Twitter is GP_comsafety. Yep. And this is the official account, one of the official accounts of the Gauteng province. And they still think this is a fantastic idea, clearly, of highlighting people who they are arresting. And just yesterday, I saw they had a picture of a man in handcuffs and showed as well 2 6-packs of beer that they confiscated from this man's car. So it's just images like that where they're going, of course, we are, you know, just changing the whole province for the better. Come on now.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that all of these videos are popping up of cops doing things that are
simple. Yeah, so Becky Taylor, what are you going to do about them? Becky Taylor, who tells us all to be in bed at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and Becky Taylor, who's arresting kite surfers and patrolling the beaches like he's some kind of strong man with a stupid hat on. Someone's got to tell the guy, your hat looks dumb. Someone's going to say, that's a stupid hat. I'll be the guy. Minister, your hat looks stupid. You look like you're trying to be a gangster from the 1930s. And even though you are a gangster, it's not the 1930s.
Do you see the message from Carl?
What does Carl say?
About Becky Kele. Apparently he gave his personal cell phone number away.
Oh, really? Janet says that hat makes him look like a pimp. I agree.
It does. And apparently the cell phone number is real and it's listed. I'm not going to repeat it.
No,
maybe
I don't want
to call it.
I don't want to mention it, and I'm not going to call it either. I don't want anything to do with Becky Taylor. I'd prefer to keep him out of my sphere of influence. I think we've just all got to try and live our lives as best we can this year. And I've said this from the beginning of 2021. Just be considerate. The whole theme for this hour of the show has basically been don't be inconsiderate. From the order you place at a restaurant, to not passing the coronavirus on willy-nilly to everybody that you know, to not telling, if you're the government, telling people what they can and can't consume in the privacy of their own homes. Let's just, I mean, like if we were all a little more considerate of each other, instead of trying to make rules for each other or getting in each other's way, life would be so simple. It really would.
So there's been a breach at a family home, and someone has tested positive for COVID. And it's interesting that...
In your family?
Yeah. So someone mentioned, why don't you get your place fogged? And so I started looking it up, and it is a thing. So I have booked a service of a cleaning and pesticide company who has now obviously turned their services into COVID-related services, and they'll be coming in, and there's a whole protocol. They come in hazmat suits and defog everything and clean in places that you can't reach and spray this mist and... all sorts of things. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, that's actually something that you can do.
You know, that's fine if you're fumigating your house with cockroaches, but it's not going to kill a virus.
Oh, no, this does. It kills 99%.
It's hectic stuff. I hate to say this to you, but then one trip to the grocery store might change all of that.
No, absolutely. But if you have a small office, for instance, and one person has tested positive and you need the small office to continue operating, then you want to just put a fogger in there and let the other six people continue working. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's a money-making scheme. It's total nonsense. It's people who they've seen an opportunity here to make money out of people who are scared, and it's not going to save you from the virus. Sorry, guys. That's not.
Yeah,
true.
And good for them if it works out for their pockets. But it was while I was at home last year for the initial first stretch of the lockdown that a company approached us at home for this. And they were very serious with things. They went around the perimeter of the whole lawn, and then they went around the house, and they were doing these calculations, and they were saying, actually, your walls are such and such in length, and so the average that this virus can travel is such and such. They made a very convincing pitch, but at the end of the day, I told my parents, I said, you know, all it will take is one person going out to the shops and
coming back. It's nonsense. Guys, virology is not a new study, and just because the COVID virus has come along doesn't mean that all rules for virology get thrown out of the window. I want to show you something really funny. Someone sent me, you know, those Trump cards where you play and you kind of, we had them when I was a kid. It could be motorbikes, for example. And then, you know, if your motorbike is faster, then you win if you call out the category of speed.
Or the Thundercats.
Right. So here's one for the McCanns, you know, Madeline McCann's parents.
Oh,
so
God.
It says children, 3. Favorite children, 2. Parenting skills, 0. Tuppers eating, 89. Trust to babysit.
Oh, they were at a restaurant when.
Trust to babysit, minus 100. Can keep a secret, 97.
Oh no.
Yes.
I don't know if enough time has passed. I mean, how many years has it been? But that is
funny. Leanne, can it really be too soon still at this point?
Great. So soon.
Same.
And then they've got one for Prince Philip.
Oh, no.
Prince
oh,
Philip.
No.
Racism, 99. Racism, 99. Racism, 99.
Medals,
27. Driving license, 0. Racism, 99.
Oh my God!
Isn't that great?
Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, I would love to.
Have you ever played Cards Against Humanity with somebody who doesn't agree with what's going on? I've had that before.
And there's just like no humor in the whole
thing. The person left the room, and she went to bed. We were on holiday.
You must not talk to that person again. They are a humorless pain in the ass.
You know what? They were trying to fall pregnant at the time, and one of the jokes was about abortion and stuff. Oh, Jesus.
But, you know, if you are so stupid that you project your own life into a card game which is designed to offend, and you then get offended, then who's the idiot?
Yeah, come on. It's a game.
To be honest, they didn't know what the game was. Oh, God, I feel so awkward right now.
No.
Are you just remembering the whole
experience?
You need to. You kind of need to explain these things to people before they start, because also, you know, in this world of, like, everybody trying to prove what good people they are online the whole time, some of them think that goes on in real life as well. You know, usually ones who have no friends, which is why they presume that the real world is the virtual world. Those people must be avoided at all costs. Listen, it's 7 o'clock already. 6 minutes past.
Yeah,
7.
Can I have a smoke break already?
Jesus.
Are you feeling the itch?
Look at the time. Look at the time. This is crazy. We've got the Kiffness joining us a little bit later on, right?
Nice.
I'm going to find a Kiffness song quickly here. Hang on. There's so much funny stuff. God, he's been doing such good songs.
Do you know what he said to me yesterday? He said, okay, tomorrow morning, I assure you guys, I will not call from bed. Because the last time he called us from bed, he said he woke up that time and he was like, yeah, I can do this from bed. And he didn't mind it, but his wife was there still sleeping in bed. So I said, we didn't have a problem, but I think your wife did. So he said, this time he'll be awake elsewhere, far from his wife.
I'm going to play his Julius Malema Jerusalem parody because that got so much attention. Remember when he did it and it got him into trouble with some people. People were enraged on Twitter, but then people on Twitter are always enraged. So I'm going to play this and then we'll talk to him at about 5:30. And your thoughts, your calls, your contribution this morning to the show on 0797482090. And if you are watching us live this morning on Webinar Jam, you can just drop us a message there too. Thank you for participating in the poll that proves that Sia is a pain in the backside. Oh, by the way, Leanne, remember you told us how to get an account info report from WhatsApp?
Yes.
Mine has just arrived, apparently.
Oh.
And so I'm going to go and download it and have a look at what they have on me.
Ah, look at that.
Yes. CliffCentral.com